All right. So we were discussing some introductory ideas to the middle brachos and to atachonin. So tonight we're going to start talking about the first line of atachonin. And we'll lay a little bit of groundwork for the next step, but just the first line of atachonin, first line of the fourth bracha, atachonin la'adam da'as u'melamid le'enosh bina. No, I think in like 4 minutes the sun will go a little bit further down and then we'll be okay. There we go. Okay. So atachonin da'as. So by we'll start with some kind of loose translation. So you grant or gift to an adam, to a man, da'as, knowledge, awareness, something like that. Umelamid le'enosh bina, and you teach to a mortal bina, wisdom, understanding. So da'as and bina we'll get back to, but just for starters, we have atachonin l'adam da'as. For an adam, he's chonin, and for an enosh, he's melamid. So Hashem is chonin to Adam and melamed and teaches to Enosh. We'll figure out exactly. We're going to start with what exactly is Adam and Enosh. What's the difference between an Adam and an Enosh? And then we'll get back to what exactly is. We'll actually do it the other way around. We'll start with chonin. The difference. What does chonin mean? And then we'll try and get to Adam. And we'll try and put it together like that. So I mentioned before the Vilna Gaon in the first bracha of Shemona Esrei mentions that the first bracha is sort of a blueprint for all of Shemona Esrei, and he says that that the first three brachos were an explanation of Gadol, Gibor, Venora, right? Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora was Gadol is Chesed, that's Midas Gadlacha, as Gadlacha Zu Midas Tuvcha, that's the Shem's Midas Chesed is Gadol, and that's the first bracha is the bracha of Chesed, Gomal Chasadim Tovim. Gibor is the bracha of Gvura, the second bracha, Ata Gibor Lolam Hashem, and which is, you know, Hashem's control, and then the third is Nora. Nora is Hashem's, you know, unfathomableness, his being unfathomable, which is, as we really explained, the idea of Kedusha is also the idea of Hashem being totally beyond our understanding. So Gadol, Gibor, Nora, those three phrases are all corresponding, moving through Shemona Esrei. And the Vilna Gaon, and we'll keep coming back to this, as you progress through Shemona Esrei, keeps going back to the first bracha and showing how that follows through in the first bracha. So atachonin continues on to the next words of the first bracha, which is kel elyon. So the Vilna Gaon explains how does that follow to the next step. And the Vilna Gaon says, the Gras says, that kel, the name of Hashem, Aleph Lamed, is chesed hapashut v'nikra chanun. It says that's simple chesed, which is called chanun. So just to understand exactly what that means, just talk for a minute about, we have this idea of rachum and chanun. We have idea of chesed and rachamim. And talk for a minute about what those two things are and explain exactly how simple chesed, and that's called chanun. What exactly does that mean? So rachamim, the idea of rachum, of rachamim, is after there's a chet, after someone has done something wrong, after someone has made a mistake, and there's a distinct reason not to give them chesed, that Hashem still gives them chesed, despite the fact Hashem still gives to them, despite the fact that they have something, they have a strike against them. There's a specific reason why they should specifically not be getting chesed, and yet Hashem gives chesed anyways, continues to give to them. That's called rachamim. Chanina is something which is even before chet, even before a person is chote, a person has not done anything wrong, and there's no reason, there's no strike against him, but there's no positive reason for Hashem to give him chesed. Hashem doesn't owe us anything, and we owe him everything. And even if we were to be perfect, so we could maybe say that we broke even. And even that claim is tenuous, because if you think about it, even the good that we do is predicated and enabled by Hashem enabling, giving us existence and giving us the koach and the ability to perform the good that we do. The Chavetz Chaim explained that that was the meaning of the pasuk. The pasuk in Tehillim says, "Ulecha Hashem ha-chesed, ki ata teshalim le'ish kim asehu." That to you, Hashem, is chesed, because you pay a person according to his actions. So seemingly, it's a puzzling pasuk, that why is it a kindness that Hashem repays us according to our actions, to pay you according to, you know, what you did? That seems like you're getting what you deserve. That doesn't seem like kindness. So the Chavetz, that's only fair. So the Chavetz Chaim said that, what does it mean? That kim asehu means like his actions, that Hashem repays a person as if it was his own actions, meaning that really when we do something right, when we accomplish something, we haven't really gained anything on Hashem, and Hashem doesn't owe us anything. And really the fact that we were able to even do anything was really because Hashem gave us the koach, gave us the capacity to exist and to act and to do what we're and to do what we did, and for Hashem then to also give us a reward for what we did, that's a chesed. Hashem pays as if it was our own actions. Kim aseu, that he's teshalim leish kim aseu, he repays a person like his actions. He repays the person as if the person did it independently, as if there was really something that they accomplished on their own, and that Hashem now owes them a reward for that. But in reality, we haven't gained anything on Hashem, and Hashem doesn't owe us anything, and the account balance will always be in debt. And the incredible chesed that Hashem does is that Hashem pays us as if it was our own achievement, as if we're now deserving of some payment that, and we aren't already far more than compensated by everything that Hashem has done for us. So that's the idea of chesed as opposed to rachamim, that chesed is when its kindness is done. Chesed pashut, simple chesed, is when Hashem does chesed, We don't. It's not the point of rachamim where there's something, there's a strike against us. We specifically don't deserve it, but there's nothing that we do deserve, and Hashem nonetheless gives to us, and that's why the world is created with chesed, olam chesed yibane, because there was nothing going for the world. Obviously, before the world existed, there was nothing going for the world that it should exist. It was an act of chesed. It was nothing that it deserved to be created. It was an act of chesed that Hashem created the world. That chesed is something which, without anything instigating, without anything coming to actively deserve that chesed, that is the idea of chesed. And that's what the Vilna Gaon is saying is called chanun. That's the midah of chanina. Rashi on Dvarim Gimel Chav Gimel says by Racham the Chanun, Rashi says Chanun Chanina. The word Chanina comes from the word Chinam, Chesed Chinam, which means free, or perhaps more accurately, baseless Chesed. Right, we're in the season where we all talk about Sinas Chinam, right, which is the idea of baseless hatred that doesn't have a real justification for it.
How about grace?
That
word fit, grace?
I guess, I mean, depending how what that word means and that word itself. But if grace means baseless kindness, then that's the word. But basically, that chanin, the word chanina comes from chinam, something which is free, something which is not necessarily deserved, that doesn't, is not necessarily justified. That's what that's the idea of chanina, of chanun. And this is really the most straightforward understanding of a Gemara. As a Gemara in Brachos, there's a lot of commentary in this Gemara exactly what this means, but what we're talking about now, it's understand on a very simple level. The Gemara says that the pasuk Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu after the Chid HaEgel, he tells him, chanosi es asher achon, And the Gemara in Brachos says, Af al pi she'eino kedai, that I'm going to be chonin, I'm going to give to whoever I'm going to give to. And the Gemara says, Af al pi she'eino kedai, even though he's not necessarily deserving. So what is that? That's exactly this point, that chanina is that Hashem gives to someone even though they don't have anything that's necessarily saying why they deserve it. A further step is verichamti ti'es asher arachim, that I'll have rachamim, I'll have mercy, even on someone who has strikes against them, who specifically doesn't deserve to get anything, that even that person still gets Hashem's rachamim. But the idea of chesed is that even though Hashem doesn't owe us anything, that Hashem still gives to us. This bracha, the fourth bracha, corresponds to this idea of kael of the first bracha. That because da'as is given to a person even without any positive reason why he deserves as much. Just as we said that, you know, olam chesed yibane, that the world is created with chesed, even though the world obviously can't earn its creation before it exists, that a person can't possibly deserve das before they have it, because before you have it, you can't possibly deserve anything. A person doesn't make meaningful decisions without das. Hashem gives to a person this gift of das without the person deserving that. This is the meaning of chonin la'adam das. Das, as we mentioned in the introduction, we were talking about this bracha, that das is what makes man more than an animal. Being an adam is a result of das. And this das is given to us as chanina, is given to us for free without any reason why we specifically deserve to have it. The ultimate chesed gives us the capacity to be sentient beings and to have the means of forming a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which no other creation has, so that's given to us without any prior deserving of such on our part. And that is the chonein la'adam da'as, that Hashem gives as a free, undeserved gift, gives da'as. That, says the Gra, is why this bracha corresponds to the kael of the Aleph Lamed of the first bracha, which is that name of Hashem corresponds to chesed pashat, of Hashem just giving simple chesed without, you know, anything complicated to it. Fine. So just we'll put the pieces together at the end. The name, the term used to refer to man, to ourselves in the first half of the line, atachonin le'adam da'as. So exactly what is the connotation of adam? So the Rambam in Mor Nevochim says that Adam, the name Adam, hints to the source of man, which is that Adam is min ha'adama. That's really, you know, what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says that he called him Adam because he was taken min ha'adama. And man was taken from the ground, and says the Rambam that what this is supposed to indicate is that this name is reminiscent of man's lowly and earthly origins. And the name Adam is a name which is supposed, which is supposed to remind a person, is the connotation of a person being, you know, the humble beginning, a very humble state of being, that you came from the dirt, you came from the ground. The Eitz Yosef says that the word Adam is an acronym, Aleph Dalad Mem, he says, stands for Afar Dam Amar, which means ash, blood, and bitterness. But not exactly the most positive kind of evocation. But even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the idea being that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's kadosh and he's mufrash and he, Hashem is holy and he's separate and he's so lofty, but still he gives da'as to lowly adam. That da'as is an unfathomable gift, especially in light of that which we mentioned, that das we mentioned before in a previous class, das refers to knowing Hashem, divine wisdom, and this da'as that Hashem gives to adam, to somebody who was created from the ground. Rav Pinkus, in his Siddur, explains that he points out something unique about this bracha over all the other brachos, that the bracha of Atachonin is the only bracha that starts with sort of a disclaimer. every other bracha kind of launches right into the bakasha. Rifa'enu, Barich Aleinu, Shema Kolenu, right? Every other bracha goes straight into, you know, the request and what the bracha is. But the Atachonin starts with this, you know, first this preamble. It says first we make a statement, a declaration, Atachonin l'adam das malamin l'onishbina, and then we say Chaneinu meitcha. Then we put our bakasha in. So says Rav Pinkus that why is that? Why is this unlike all of the other brachas that this one begins with an intro? So Rav Pinkus says because no matter what level we reach, we're still just an adam. And the gift of our da'as is always going to be in the category of chanina, of something which is a free gift. And therefore, says Rav Pinkus, that we have the gall to ask for such a lofty, we, you know, as little as we are, as, you know, as unaccomplished as we are, have the gall to ask for da'as, because it's Hashem's derech, it's his normal modus operandi to give out, to give this gift. Even the greatest tzaddik is also, he's still just an adam. Our low level is no more of a stretch than that of a complete tzaddik. The difference between, you know, infinity and 10 and the difference between infinity and a million is the same thing, right? That the even, so no matter how great a person is, they still don't deserve da'as. They still haven't earned da'as. And yet Hashem gives this gift. And therefore we say that Hashem, this is, I'm not asking because I'm zocha to it. Because the fact that you give it to anyone means that you're giving it out whether or not it's deserved. And therefore I have the gumption to ask for such a matana, because it's something I'm pointing out, or we are pointing out, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you give this gift out whether or not people deserve it. And therefore, I'm able to ask for this. But it's all kind of prefaced on this idea that the whole idea of Adam being this we're kind of emphasizing that, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all we are is Adam, and yet you're willing to give such a tremendous gift. And therefore, we have the gall to ask for such a thing.
So the only question I have is that da'as, that is a prerequisite. Because we have the choice. We wouldn't be able to do mitzvot if we didn't have that. Right. So it's almost like I understand that it's a gift, that it's amazing that we have it, because we could be ants on the ground. But in order to be able to do any of the mitzvot, we require that first.
Right.
So it's almost, right, it doesn't sound as much of a gift that way. It's almost like,
why not?
We have it, because how else can we fulfill our function here? It's like not giving us the tool in which we're here to be able to fulfill our function if we don't have da'as.
That itself is a chesed, meaning that
I agree, but I mean, in other words, without da'as, then there's no point to us.
Right.
Because then we can't do any mitzvot. We can't choose right and wrong. We can't choose to acknowledge Hashem. We can't choose anything because we have no ability to distinguish.
Right.
What da'as does for us.
Yeah.
So it just seems a little, I don't know what doesn't line up in my mind in that, we're saying what we're so nothing, we're not worthy of it. But without it, we wouldn't, right? Like, we need it to be able to become worthy of it, in a sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I'm not sure where the question. I don't know. I didn't know where the, what about that doesn't line up.
Let me try. I think yes, it's undeserved kindness, but Hashem wants us to exercise our freedom. And how do you exercise your freedom if you don't have the tools, as you pointed out? So yes, everything's undeserved, but Hashem wants us through our knowledge, through our freedom, to come to Him. So he gives us things that allows us to choose to or not to do. So yes, everything, we are dirt. I mean, there's a proverbial, you know, picture of, on the one hand, we are from dirt, but we also, the universe was created for us. So you have to balance the fact that, yes, and everything is from God. Yes, and everything is true. But He wants us to struggle. He wants us to come to Him. He gives us the tools to do that. So
you
can keep grinding the point that we are undeserving, But he has found in his wisdom and his desire to bring the world about to give us wisdom so that we can exercise it and learn and do so forth. So,
tell me if this is a misrepresentation of the question. That we basically turn to God and we say, well, listen, God, if you need us to do the mitzvot, so you have to give us das. Is that basically?
In a cruder way of saying it.
So this wasn't...
I mean, in other words, not that we deserve, therefore it's coming to us. The fact that we wake up in the morning is a gift from Hashem. And like to keep saying, like, you know, well, if, you know, we're nothing, so therefore, like, thank you for giving us das, fine. But then how could you expect us to do mitzvot if we can't distinguish? So
right.
We need that as a tool to be able to do...
So this is an important point which you'll find this... this is a ubiquitous point that many Jewish thinkers make, which is the Rambam spends a long time discussing this, but that does God need our mitzvos? Do we do anything for God when we do mitzvos? So
even if it's just for us to come close to Hashem, because he has everything, he doesn't need our mitzvot. It's really for us to feel a tzibekut to him. Like as we do this and we start feeling connected to him.
Right.
But what would be the point if we didn't have
God creates all creatures. He shows chesed by creating every animal.
Right.
So he can give chesed without giving dad if he wants to.
Correct.
So he's gone beyond that with us.
Right.
So we have...
And we have responsibility back to him.
Okay. So
we're acknowledging that we're not an animal only, that we have a higher level, obviously, right, that we're able to do this. Whatever. That's where I'm... But yes, in other words, even if it's our purpose to get close to him and he doesn't need...
But not just that it's our purpose, but that it's more than that. It's that it's not like, well, God, if you want us to do mitzvos, then, you know, this is kind of a part of the deal that, of course, you have to give us das, because he doesn't need us to do mitzvos. God could have created... God could have not created in the first place,
right,
or could have created us in such a way that we didn't have that opportunity.
Right.
After you know, God has decided that that he wants us to do mitzvos, then he wants that to be a product of, you know, a meaningful decision. Then it is true that part of that is going to have to be that that he gives bechira. But that itself is only because Hashem, as the greatest chesed, decided to give us that ability.
I think it ties in, Poteach et Yadecha must be Lechol Chai Ratzon. He opens his hands for every living thing, and does what he wills with them, or gives them whatever will they have. And so that applies across the spectrum. And with us, it includes dot, you know, with cats, it doesn't, you know. Or maybe it does, I don't know.
All right. Now, so that's the approach based off of the Rambam. There's another approach, however, which you might be one which maybe we're more familiar with, which understands the name Adam to be a term, a name of honor and distinguishment. The pasuk says Adam ki yamus ba'ohel, that when an Adam dies in a tent, and Chazal come and they say atem keruyim Adam ve'en umus olam keruyim Adam, that they say that you, the Jewish people, are called Adam. You have this exalted status of Adam. And the nations of the world don't have the status of Adam, which you know, if learned in context, does not mean to say that non-Jews are subhuman. We say that they have a tzelem elokim also, and there's a lot. And the Tosos on that Gemara spends time. You know, the there are other Gemaras themselves, which drushas of ha-Adam are about non-Jews. There's a difference between Adam and ha-Adam. But point for now, just that the term Adam is obviously being used as a term of a higher status. Rav Hirsch explained that the word Adam is related to the word Hadom, which means a footstool, because we, mankind, are the footstool of Hashem's kavod, that we are the place where kavod Hashem has to rest in this world. The fact that there is something which can be mekabel, which can accept and give a standing place for kavod Hashem in this world, is Adam, and our name represents that. That's a lofty state, that we are the ones who give a capacity for kavod Hashem to be represented in this world. That's what it means to be an Adam. The Rabbeinu Yehuda ben Yakar, Rebbe of Rashi, that we've mentioned many times before, points out that Moshe Rabbeinu is referred to as Adam. And the pasuk in Tehillim says, "Lakachta matanos ba'Adam," when it talks about that Moshe Rabbeinu went up, Lisa Lamarum, that he went up to Shemayim, and when he went to get the Torah, and it says, "Lakachta matanos ba'Adam." And certainly Moshe Rabbeinu, at the time of receiving the Torah, is not being denigrated by being called an Adam. That was a name that was pointing out a lofty status of Adam. So, what trait defines Adam on this lofty level? What is it that defines Adam as being a loftier entity of being an Adam? So the pasuk says in Bereishis, it says Vayehi ha'Adam l'nefesh chaya, and the targum unglis there says that the Vahava ha'Adam l'ruach memalala, that he was a spirit with words, with speech. And dibor, speech, is really what captures that defined Adam as being something more than anything else was the ability, the capacity of speech. The Revolvi used to point out that the first Mishnah in Bava Kamma, the term that it uses to refer to Adam Hamazik is mave, and the word mave means a speaker. That the term used to refer to Adam is that which speaks. Because that captures what Adam is. Yaakov, who we discussed this in the third bracha, that Yaakov was, you know, so to speak, the prototype of what man is meant to be, the Adam al HaKiseh, the image of a man sitting on the Kiseh HaKavod, is the image of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov, who sort of represents this epitome of what man is meant to represent, is identified for the faculty of Kol, HaKol Kol Yaakov, the ability to communicate. That was really the koach that Yaakov had. The Medrash in Pirkei de Elazar says that this bracha, the fourth, the Medrash goes through, and I don't remember if we mentioned it in any of the first three brachas, but we'll get back to it in some of the other brachas. The Medrash in Pirkei de Elazar that goes through each bracha when in history that bracha really came into being. The Malachim said all of these brachas at a certain event in history. And when in history was it that the bracha of Atachonin came into being? The Pirkei de Elazar says that when Yosef was taken out of prison in Mitzrayim, and before he met Paro, there were Malachim who came to him and taught him the 70 languages. And that's why when, after Yosef met with Paro, that Paro was there, a whole medrash there says that just excerpt the one part for us, that Paro made Yosef promise not to tell anyone that he knew more languages than Paro, because he knew all of the languages plus Lashon HaKodesh, and Paro only knew the other languages, but that Yosef knew all of the 70 languages because the Malachim, before he came out of prison, they came and they taught him the 70 languages. And that's the 70 is all of the languages that there are. That's the totality of language. Is 70 always represents a totality, the completeness of something. So there's 70 nations, 70 years is what is used to refer to the lifetime of a person, or something that happens once in 70 years is the Talmud's expression for something that there's, you know, it's a once in a completeness is always 70. So the completeness of language, the completeness of speech is the 70 languages. And when Yosef was taught the 70 languages, that this bracha was that the Malachim came and said, Baruch Atah Hashem Chonin Hadas. At that point is when the Malachim said this bracha, and that was the original kind of coming into the world of this bracha. This blessing, this bracha was recited at the point of the Shlemus, of the completion of the faculty of Das, the faculty of Dibor, which is the defining koach of Adam. That also we mentioned before, the idea of da'as, speech, comes from da'as. A shote she'ino medaber, somebody who doesn't have the faculty of speech, he doesn't have da'as. That da'as is represented by the ability to speak, because speech is really the coming together of the physical and the spiritual part of a person. And that's really what Adam is. What makes Adam different than everything else is that everything else, the Ramchal talks about, everything else is either spiritual or physical. But Adam is, you know, half dirt, half God, right? Adam is the only being which is physical and spiritual, and those two combine in the faculty of Dibor. It's a physical act which is done through, which is a representation of a thought. It's turning a thought into something which comes out into the world. That's what the idea of dibor is, and that's the. Have to stop in 1 minute, but this bracha, the bracha of Ata Chonin La'adam Da'as was said about that point where Yosef had been granted that shlemus of Dibor. Dibor, that's the epitome of what man is, because the epitome of man is the ability to combine the physical and the spiritual and to bring something into the world, bring something down from a higher place into the world. That we find in halacha that dibor kind of straddles this line of being a machshava or being a maisa. And some things we find that by a blasphemer, that we say that the movement of his lips, which formed the words, that's what makes it into an act. Only a physical act is punishable with corporal punishment. So it's that the physical. But in other things, we say that dibor is a lav she'ein bo maisa. And in certain things, where the not to get into the whole sugya of why sometimes it's one and sometimes it's the other, but the reason that it is sometimes one and sometimes the other is because it straddles that point, that it is really a combination of the two. It is the point of the combination of a person's machshava and the person's capacity to act in the world coming together, and that's the real tachlis of what Adam is, and that's the Ata Chonin La Adam Das represents that gift to be this lofty, this higher level, the ability to connect the physical and the spiritual. And that's how, why is it that Adam and Hadom being Hashem's footstool? Because the ability to express spiritual realities in the physical world, the ability to be the vehicle to show Kavod Hashem in this world, to take spiritual realities and bring them into a physical world. That's what it means to be the vehicle of Kavod Hashem, to represent that there is an Einon Milvado, to represent that there is a Bore, and to show that in the world, that is being the footstool for Hashem's Kavod. And that's the Maila of Adam, is the ability to express that and represent that. And that's the Ata Chonin La'adam Das. And we'll have to we'll pause here and finish exactly how that fits in with Melamed L'Enosh Bina, and the difference between Adam and Enosh and Bina and Das, and we'll have to leave that for the next class.
Okay.
All right. Yes. That's